between myself and your truth. These cursed memories forever seeping through. Oh, my thirst for myself left me wanting more, till I found myself face down on your shore. You said, come to the
change. voice, a hollow noise. If I speak with a silver tongue, convince a crowd but don't have love, I leave a bitter taste with every word I say. So let my love be the proof of your love.
Talking kind of crazy, warning us all about the end of time. So out from the crowd, I just asked him, how could God love a mess like me? Son, I'm a preacher now, but that ain't who I used to be. He said, you'll never know just how far love has brought me. You'll never know who I used to be. I've been around and I've been down to the bottom of hell and back again. I was almost out, I was at my end, but then love stepped in. She just how far I've come since the day that preacher told me about his amazing love. I was lost and alone, and the lights came on, and hope set my heart free.
By the book, that's the one thing that you can count on, and it is exactly doing that. Welcome to the Watchman for Jesus program. My name is Thomas Gamble. I'm the host of this program, brought to you by the lot of us, brought to you by a lot of perseverance, let me tell you. Anyway, well, family, this afternoon, I'm going to talk about news behind the news. Commentary, and I'm going to talk about something I haven't talked about except maybe one time in a couple years. I want to start adding some additional type commentary in other subject areas that actually link up to what's getting ready to go down, but today I'm going to talk about how to identify aggressive behavior. Now, actually, this is my expertise. Not broadcasting. Broadcasting is secondary. My expertise is anti-terrorism, martial arts, self-defense, training, law enforcement, and armed security for the State Department, Department of Energy. Yes, for the past 15, 20 years, and Marine Corps before that. So broadcasting just kind of fell in my lap. Basically just to warn people about what I've discovered along the way. I'd say 90%, 80% of people are completely and totally deceived. The TV, your high-level broadcasters, authors cannot be trusted. They're only telling you just the surface of what's really going on. You know, O'Reilly's, Hannity's, Beck's, they don't get it. They're only covering the surface, the icing that's placed on top of the old moldy cake. They haven't even dug into the cake yet. In all cases, they write books that are almost nonsense. In every single case, yet they come off as bestsellers and so forth. And the one that O'Reilly just recently wrote, Killing Jesus, that ought to be an eye-catcher, I suppose. It has a cross with only the top part, the T, and the bottom horizontal line, and the vertical line with the top horizontal line, making a T and T only. Now, it's missing the higher part of the T of the cross, and there's a reason why. That's a signal. That's a identification of the Ankh, A-N-K-H. The T part of the Ankh, there's three parts to the Ankh. The Ankh is an Egyptian symbol of the ancient mystery schools of religion. Luciferianism, if you will, just encompass it all into one. So this is a signal they give. Little symbols mean everything. Symbols attract demonic entities. It's physics, psychology, it's biology, and it works. These books are, oh, this is going to turn some of you off, but it's actually true, inclusive of Harry Potter, the movies, and all this, all that inclusive, are basically accursed, as the records are. You listen to John Todd, talks back in the late 70s, early 80s, of how they in fact took every new record, 45 RPM or albums or whatever, Zodiac records, in fact, in testimony, his testimony of being eyewitness and being part of this, would take the records of every record, in this case now it would be CDs or DVDs or whatever, or movies if you're going out, everything. But in this case, back in the 70s, he would take the record into a temple room. The first cut, the first original, which was a big one, and then to make little, you know, the million copy seller and all that, as contracted. But first to take the first one, and they would invoke and do a witchcraft ceremony in Hollywood, in Zodiac Records, wherever it is. In fact, they'd do this. And they would invoke supernatural beings to follow that record. Now, if you think it's nonsense, then you better do some research about how the State Department, the Pentagon, has classified programs, as the Russians do as well, utilizing witchcraft. And in fact, that's where your super soldier alchemy and all that comes from. They bring technology and intermingle it with supernatural, and it's really nothing more than quantum physics. Because demons do exist. They're real. They are invoked. There's millions of them. They're the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim before the flood. The flood released them because it killed the bodies of the Nephilim. They exist with us today. Now, so they would invoke these demonic entities into these records. And every time there was a copy made, a demonic entity would go with it. So do the math on that. So anywhere they're played, those demonic entities would also come out, wherever house it is, or anywhere it's being played. You see, and this is, he went around the United States in this period of time and was given these lectures. And he was a Todd by virtue of marriage to Astors, was Illuminati. Astor family is the outer side of the outer portico of the Illuminati. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast right now. And then we're going to jump into today. I talk a little bit about this, but I'm laying the groundwork for other things that's coming during the course of today. Tonight's Bible study, 7:30 to 9. And we'll talk about Yeshua and Jesus, the trick that's going on there. And it's going to be massive. It's going to change people's lives when this happens. It's quite extensive. People's not getting it, though. They're not understanding the impact it's going to have shortly. And right now, people are looking for mankind to solve the problem. And where to put your money and, you know, freeze-dried food and all that sort of thing. Your bug-out bag and Agenda 21, all this exotic stuff that's going on, FEMA camps and all that. Everybody's all into that. They don't realize all that is to create fear and fear-mongering. That's what it's all about. And all that's going to end when the supernatural takes control. That will be the Antichrist. The first seal hadn't happened yet. So much deception. If you stick with the Bible, because this goes by the book, then all this other is just frivolous. Up to a point. And it's going to affect everybody's lives. Me, I just hang on until that time comes. In the meantime, just let people flurry around and all these other shows and stuff talk about all this stuff that, you know, just not going to come to pass. When it does, it's going to be short-circuited. I tend to look at the bigger picture. That's going to be the priority, you know, and that's where I keep my head, no matter what. If I'm alone, so be it. But the Bible is so far 100% right on target. What I try to do in these broadcasts is show you how Satan is specifically carrying things out using mankind, humankind, the Vatican, the Illuminati, the free the secret societies as his minions. Secular humanism, Luciferianism, Satanism, it's all connected. Different flavors for different folks. It's all the same. It goes right back to the leaders, which is Luciferian, Lucifer, and the fallen angels. And they control all governments under the alias of aliens or whatever, or ascended masters for those in the New Age. They have different titles, different names. It's the same ones. Lord, today we come before you in prayer. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have to conduct a broadcast, to conduct Bible studies on this network. That, Lord, we thank you for what you've used evil to bring us good. That, Lord, we bring before you our sins. We lay them before you, Father, and ask you to forgive us of our sins. Lord, to help us and guide us with your Holy Spirit as the times change, to keep us mindful of what's going on, Father, that using your wisdom and your discernment to override any of the technology that's being introduced to us, Father, that any of the supernatural forces that's accompanying all this that's going on, that, Lord, you protect us in the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity we can do Bible studies that's on the network, that, Lord, that we hope that, Father, when we speak with each other, that it's carried on to others, that, Lord, that others will start Bible studies in their own homes, that, Father, we know these churches are failing in their job. We know the preachers and the rabbis and the popes and the priests and all these, Father, are falling away from the church. They're falling away from the true church of God through Jesus Christ and the King James Bible. Lord, we need that wisdom, discernment, outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's going to bring them all back into the true Word of God. Father, we pray for those loved ones we have, our fathers, our families, our mothers, our other family members that need a healing, that are being targeted by the Illuminati, by these microchips, by these ELF transmissions that's going on that people don't have a clue about, Lord, that these flu shots, these vaccinations that's killing people, that's also causing all this mental degradation in their brains, that, Father, this is also strange for us down here, Lord, but so many people are deceived by the truth, by all these false things to hide the truth. That, Lord, that you'll somehow bring out. We see an outpouring of knowledge that's coming out more than usual, and, Lord, we thank you for that. We do pray specifically for Irvin, Leah's father, and for all the others, and for Henry and Michelle and others that we've prayed for in the past. Lord, that you'll bring them back to their minds and protect their bodies and heal them, Father, in their elder years, that, Father, that through your healing, there'll be an outpouring of the Spirit and people will be saved, Lord, to glorify your name. We pray for our leaders, Lord, that out of these will be truth tellers. They'll have whistleblowers to come out, Lord. And we pray for the destruction of these chemtrails and, Father, the cover over ourselves of the effects of these chemtrails and the microchips, Father, that we know is being put out there. And, Lord, we call upon you to give the courage to the preachers. That, Father, you'll find out of those the ones with the courage to speak out against the false theology that's being taught today. And, Lord, to expose those fallen angels for who they really are. And, Father, to close down that WESOC festival. Lord, to put a curse on that thing, Father, of weather or whatever, that, Father, they won't be able to have it. That, Lord, we ask you, too, to protect the children that's being identified for witchcraft, that's been identified for sacrifices, that, Lord, you protect them, especially this upcoming between now and April, that, Lord, that you'll protect those children being identified for abduction and kidnapping. And you'll take them away, Father, from these witchcraft, from these Luciferians. And, Father, that's why we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Family, to give you a little bit of the testimony that I was talking about, I'll let the person talk that's been talking about it, and we'll let him speak about it. John Todd. This happened in the early 1970s, and John Todd came out and he stated that he was a former member of the Illuminati, and that was by marriage of the Astors. And before being saved by Jesus Christ, he became born again. And he exposed the Illuminati conspiracy back in the 70s even. That was too soon for them. You see, because they wanted to get their groundwork established before they were exposed. Now they want to be exposed for another reason. And after exposure, he was drugged, closed down their mental institution, and he just disappeared. So we're going to let him do his testimony. You'll hear it as it's recorded. And that's what they do.
You may not think that this message has anything to do with you, but you're missing the whole point. I was in a world where it was impossible to become a Christian, and Jesus made me one. I was by one of the girls that I used to live with when I was in the occult world. Recently, she was at a very important witchcraft meeting that we happened to find out about, and I pulled into the parking lot for a few minutes to see who was there. And she walked by the car and had a couple of Christian brothers with me. She looked in the car and just smiled, kept on walking, never recognized me. That's the difference between the way I am now and the way I was then. When the Lord changes you, he totally changes you. Now, we give our testimony for several reasons, to show that no matter what, whether you were raised a Christian and you know, all your life, or you were raised in the worst frame of life, it's still the same miracle. God still saves you just the same. Sometimes I think it's harder to get the PKs and the Christian kids saved than it is the witches. But at the same time, we try to flag you down from going the same direction we went, with drugs. You'll never know the feeling to lose so many friends that should be with you today and so many loved ones because of drugs that we kept convincing ourselves was all right. This isn't some preacher getting up here and telling you that's never been in it. I wished I had a half hour to talk about the worst thing that the occult world ever planned out and carried out. That's called rock music. But I'm going to say two quick things. Parents, the rock music does not belong to you, your kids. If your kids are in your home, it belongs to you and you're answerable for it. And if you want to believe they're garbage, that it's all right, and you want to forget things like Kiss saying that their real name is Kings and Satanic Service, and that rock music is actually satanic spells being cast and being planned by the Satanist Church, and that's a direct quote, then you go right on ahead. Right now, one of the Manson family girls is in trial, and she said the number one thing that the occult world used to brainwash them was Beatle music. and rock music. If you want to leave it in your home, I won't go into details why you can't, but if you want to leave it in your home and all the demons that it attracts, fine. If you want your kids to buffalo you, then it's all right. But I recommend you go home today, get a cardboard box, and break the records, and burn those covers, and get it out of your home. And you'd be surprised at how fast your kids come around after they finish throwing their two-year-old tantrum. But I wish that I had the time more on rock music, but believe me, it is the work carefully planned out in the occult world. We spent $8 million to produce Jesus rock music and pay the man who started it named Chuck Smith just because Christians were destroying rock music and we were afraid that it would be banned from the Christian church. So we carefully put it in the form of Christian rock music. So if they would spend $8 million to keep rock music in your hands, then the hardcore rock must be even worse. And it is. I was the manager of Zodiac Productions, which Zodiac Productions' name has been changed since then. I'm not even sure what to call it now, but it's the largest music conglomerate in the world. It owns RCA Records, Columbia Records, Motown Records, owns almost all the concert booking agencies in the United States. And that's not even the name of the company that owns it. The name of the company that owns it is Brenner Enterprises, and Brenner Enterprises is owned by Chase Manhattan. Chase Manhattan's owned by Standard Oil, and Standard Oil's owned by the Lords of London. You can track it all back. You kind of get the idea after a while. But I was the managing president of Zodiac Productions. It was one of my jobs as being one of these 13 people. Thus, I got to know many of the people who produce music and sing the music and play the music that you play. Recently, one of the top people in rock music from the group, can't think of the name of the group now, it's one of the top rock groups still in existence that's been around a long time, was just saved. And he told how when they'd play in their concerts, they would control through witchcraft spells in their mind the people to do different things in the audience. And that they'd work the audience up not with the music, but with their mind and their music combination. Now, one of the closest friends that I got during that time that I obtained was a man named David Crosby, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. I saw David the day before Christmas last year, talked with him. I got him away from this witch that he had with him. He told her to go shopping. We were in West Hollywood, and I was witnessing around to people I knew. We went off in this store and we started talking. I said, David, I'd like to ask you a couple questions. I said, I already know the answers, but I've been gone for 5 years. I'd like to know if certain things are still the way they were when I left. I said, now I'll have to explain some of this when I'm done, because you're not going to understand it all unless you know something about music. I said, do they still take the master to the temple room? Dave said, yeah. I said, do they still have the coven conjure demons into the master? He said, of course. I said, now I got to know something. What's the main reason for rock music? Come on, Lance, you know what the reason is. Please, David, I don't want to guess. Tell me what the main reason is. It's just the same as when you were in, so that we can place spells on people that we couldn't cast spells upon. I'll explain what that means in a minute. I said, okay, one last thing. I've been hearing that you must be an initiated witch now to get a record contract. He said, that's right. He says, many of us that weren't total witches have to be witches now in order to produce music. Thank you. The master is a tape about as big as the top of this podium that looks like an overgrown 8-track that the album is cut on and is placed in a machine that produces and presses the records and the 8-tracks and cassettes that you buy. After it's been recorded, it's taken in. This is why a master is cut months in advance before it's released. On the full moon, it's taken in to a temple room about the size of this auditorium that is in every one of the major music companies behind locked doors up in the executive offices. And it's placed on an altar sitting in the north of the room and a pentagram engraved in the floor. And 13 hand-chosen witches and wizards and a coven come in and conjure a principality or a power-up, usually Regia or something like that, and order him to tell the demons under him to follow every record and every tape coming off of that master. As I tell many Christian parents, you can go home and count your kids' records, probably yours too, and count how many demons at least are there. If that's too hard for you to believe, I'm sorry. That's why they do it. Now listen to me. This is why rock music's addicting. Have you ever seen kids that got rid of their music? They go around like this. They can't wait to find a rock station somewhere and they sneak off just like getting a cigarette or a fix. Because it's addicting. That's why they can't give it up. The rest of the conversation was this. You can't cast a spell on a Christian, but you can get a Christian to cast a spell on themselves. If you give the permission, what's felt to work, being a Christian won't block it. And rock music is not just a song. It is supernatural music that which is carefully designed by their spirit guides or familiar spirits in the form of spells. Now, although the devil's music's power is the music and God's music is the words, much of the songs are written in what we call witch language. Give you kind of an idea. You talk, many of you talk on a CB, unless you know what a smoky is, and a 10-4, and a front door and back door and rocking chair and these type of things, you don't know what you're talking about. Same with witches. When you're in the first and second level, you have to learn over 2,000 words that said by anybody else means something totally different than when you say them. Elton John has said he's never written a song or sung a song that wasn't in witch language. And I want to show you something. See how many kids in here will be honest and adults. How many remember and have heard at least several times a song called Hotel California? Somebody tell me what it meant. Quickly, somebody tell me what it meant. Huh? That's pretty close. But from the words, what did it mean? Well, that's more of a guess. See, most people can't tell you. That's why when people do drugs and they listen to songs in which language, they get some of the meaning. But most of the time, they can't tell you. Stop and think how many songs are out there that you really like, and you don't have any idea what the person was talking about. Beyond the Yellow Brick Road? How about The Destroyer by Kiss? Can anybody tell me what it's about? Kiss said in it, kids, tell your parents. They're talking about Helter Skelter. Beatles sung Helter Skelter in which language nobody knew what it meant. Manson did because he belonged to the process. Helter Skelter is a several thousand-year-old word.
Well, you got the idea. That's actual testimony given by John Todd back in the 70s, minus that background music. But in any case, that's how it works. Now, what they've done, this was in the 70s. In 1973, there's a study done, Dr. Ralph Schwitzbell out of Harvard, that integrated a program focused on a study group of admitted homosexuals and in prison. And these homosexuals were used as a control group, were implanted with a device and transponder inside the skin, or it could have been in the brain, either one was fine, but they implanted the device inside the body, and with it they could study the coercive behavior modification techniques, they called it, with offenders. And they could control the soul of that individual with the microchip. You understand? They could deliver an electrical shock anywhere in the world with that microprocessor and transponder implanted in the body. So if they were to have tendencies, they would be able to identify the tendencies on recording devices and then issued an electrical shock inside the body to suppress those feelings and listen to conversations and to track them down. And this was in 1973. I got the study. And I've got dozens of patent numbers and patent names of where they integrated into the body in controlled behavior. You see, this is not a theory. It's not science fiction. It's 40-some years old or more. It's old. All right, now, that being said, there was another interview by a well-known researcher named Anthony Sutton. Now, I also know from research I've done that they can actually induce cancer and heart attacks by design, and that's a fact. They can actually tap in to a person's pacemaker because they have codes on them. They can hack into it, no problem. They have them listed. They can hack into your frequency vibration of your energy, your DNA code, they call it, DNA signature. That's the fourth generation. First generation was microchip with transponder, a device, for those interested, the study was a development, quote, development and legal regulation of coercive behavior modification techniques with offenders. It's a 92-page monograph. I have a copy of that actual one. And that they said the cultural thesis for this, the social thesis for this, was political rehabilitation. They thought began with inside the nervous system of the citizen. So that a miniaturized radio transmitter implanted inside the brain or body could monitor and transmit the conversation, location, sexual response to the subject 24 hours a day, and deliver a radio-controlled electrical shock device to anywhere in the world. And they predicted in the paper micro miniaturization in 73. And then we know about nanobot technology that's also in the vaccines, but also implants. 7,800 servicemen have filed a lawsuit against the DOD and CIA for implanting septal devices in the nose at the VA and other hospitals. 7,800 servicemen have filed a lawsuit against SAND called intracranial stimulation. Well, now they have nanobots, and then the fourth generation was actually track your DNA frequency signature. An NSA, National Security Agency computer specialist, in 1973-74 actually proposed attaching miniature electronic tracking devices to 20 million Americans. Okay? Now, Anthony Sutton talks about this, the psychotronic, prophet. What's her name? She recently died, I do believe, because the Illuminati is starting to claim their own. They need a life force to bring in a life force. That's another story. I'm not going to go into that one right now. But this is really, you know, you can go so many different rabbit holes. But Elizabeth Prophet died, I believe, this year, and she interviewed Anthony Sutton. And she was part of this herself, but that's what your Alex Joneses and Prophets, Elizabeth Prophets, and these that work for the Illuminati, oh yeah, try to pull out those real truth tellers and get them to expose themselves, and then they kill them later. Bill Cooper was murdered. Russo, cancer, after he went public on Alex Jones' show against David Rockefeller's about how they were using feminism to break up families and how they were doing all they were doing, Russo went public. Senator Schaefer was getting a finger on Child Protective Service because the Child Protective Service provides the children to the CIA, and that's where all the disappear from, a lot of them, from the CIA, from the Child Protective Service. And the children they use for experiments, sexual use of sodomizing and so forth, that lifts them up to the supernatural. I can say this not blink an eye because I know it's true. Pentagon is deep step into it. Your super soldiers, psychotronic weapons, and they test it on people. That's a long story short. Let's hear what Anthony Sutton's got to say about it. Listen carefully.
What I'd like to do is to get on with a subject that you've been most involved in since you've done all these things that we've been discussing, and that is psychotronics. I'd like to show you a video clip on Soviet psychotronics and ask for your comment, and we'll take off into that area.
Okay. Well, in the Soviet Union, a radio frequency, or RF device, has been used for over 30 years to manipulate the moods of mental patients. It's called a Leida machine. It radiates pulses of radio frequency energy, as well as light, sound, and heat. The pulse rate is in the extremely low frequency range, between 0 and 100 pulses per second. Dr. Ross Ady is the top researcher at the Veterans Administration Hospital in Loma Linda, California. He has been investigating the effects of the LIDAR machine.
Now, what did the Soviets use this machine for? Well, they don't use it anymore. We should be very clear that this is a machine which is regarded by them as somewhat obsolete technologically.
This scientist, who did not want his identity revealed, is employed by the U.S. government and has done secret RF weapons research. He believes that tests done with the LIDA and similar machines prove that humans are susceptible to remote alterations of mood and awareness.
Certain kinds of weak electromagnetic signals work exactly like drugs. And so the promise is that anything you can do with drugs, you could do with the right electromagnetic signals. Apparently, there are specific sites involved, specific functions involved. It's a matter of matching up, just like it is with a pill or a drug, to cause and effect. You could have a cause and effect relationship between a magnetic field and a biological function.
This sound, which is received by shortwave radios in the United States, is generated by another Soviet radio frequency device. It is known as the woodpecker because of its tapping noise. It is broadcast by a number of high-powered radio transmitters operating deep in the Soviet Union since July 4, 1976. Though the official Defense Department explanation of the woodpecker is that it is an over-the-horizon radar designed to track U.S. missile launches, some scientists suspect that the woodpecker is designed to interfere with human brain function.
As far as I'm concerned, the potential that this has for producing a direct psychoactive effect upon the polar American population is there. Has never been disproven.
Dr. Robert Becker is a pioneer in the field of bioeffects of electromagnetism.
The signal range within which the woodpecker operates is that which has been reported by many investigators to produce a tranquilizing effect upon animals.
We are just incredibly sensitive to these magnetic stimuli.
Dr. Bob Beck, a PhD in nuclear engineering, has done extensive research into electromagnetic effects on humans.
The signal is permeating power grids in the United States. It was being picked up by power lines, re-radiated. It was coming into the homes on the light circuits.
Well, it was a little unclear, but I knew two of the gentlemen on there, Bob Beck, and I think Becker was the other one. And basically, of course, they were talking about psychotronics. If I can translate in my words.
Please do.
Psychotronics is the... Let me pick these words very carefully. Is the long-range modification or manipulation of behavior by electronic, specifically radio means. In other words, you use electromagnetic energy, radio transmissions, to affect human behavior at a distance. In other words, what you're doing is that you are merging radio engineering and power psychology. This is what I think the Soviets can do. This is something which we have not in the West looked at too carefully. What I think the Soviets can do, and this I think was the intent of this film clip, let me summarize what they can do and then in more detail about one or two of these facets. One, they can manipulate behavior at a distance. For example, they could create a riot, which you couldn't stop, in this auditorium, right out of that transmitter. What they would do specifically is that the name of the transmitter is not the one I know. I know it as the Gomel transmitter. He called it the woodpecker signal. But what they do, they broadcast the signal to create a riot. You broadcast 11 hertz, 11 cycles per second, beamed into this room. And it would, without you knowing, you would start to get uncomfortable, then upset, and then I presume start getting a little active, like throwing the plants around or breaking up chairs, things like that. You use specific, what are called radio frequency windows. 11 hertz will create that kind of behavior. Other frequencies, other windows will create other kinds of behavior. You can create a passive behavior. You can make people go to sleep. You can create narcotic effects. It has been used, actually, as an antidote, as a cure for narcotic addiction. You can make people alert. You can make them misconstrue, misunderstand things. Each has a specific, very precise frequency. We know what these frequencies are. We know the behavior modification that can be brought about. We know the servants are using it. Let me give you three examples. One, the Moscow Embassy in 1977, the State Department discovered that its employees were being zapped by what they called microwaves, that were really these transmissions, extremely low-frequency transmissions. The ambassador, in fact, had heart problems as a result of it. And you can induce medical effects. You can induce heart attacks at a distance with certain frequencies. That's one example we know. The State Department then took the wrong approach. It's put screens on windows, but we know that copper and steel screening will not shield from alpha, extremely low frequency waves. There is another antidote, which we can get into later if you want. One, we know you can modify behavior through beaming radio waves on specific frequencies at a distance. We can do that.
How great a distance?
Well, the transmitter they're using is at Gomel. We know that that was beamed on Eugene, Oregon in the late 70s. They were picking up, I forget the cycles per second, I think it was about 9 hertz. And that was very intense at 2,000 feet. They got public health people picked up a number of, well, I think 20, 30, 40 cases of disorientation, headaches, nausea, that kind of thing, which you would get from that frequency. A more clear example is not Eugene, Oregon, although I'm fairly sure of that case, is the Canadian cases, Kirkland Lake and Timmins, Ontario, both bombarded by the Soviets. In this case, I'm in touch with a Canadian scientist who did the analysis for the Canadian government. There is no question in his mind that the Soviets bombarded Kirkland Lake and Timmins with a frequency which would create disorientation, headaches and nausea, that kind of thing. So the distance, if you can get a radio wave in there, you can get this effect in there. It's so the frequency on which it operates.
The purpose of this was an experiment to prove what they could do and what they could do in wartime?
I think in the early 70s, this was experimentation. I think what they're doing today is not experimentation. If you look at the State Department, which as I see it, has not made one decision in our favor. Every decision is against us. If you look what happened in the Moscow Embassy, if you get Schultz saying that counterintelligence is not productive, you know, these ridiculous statements, you begin to think that, okay, you can bring this about through psychoactive warfare, psychoactive manipulation using ELF waves, extremely low frequency waves. And that's what Robert Beck and the other gentleman were saying.
Do the Soviets select certain individuals in the United States, or do they take a picture of them and put it in a machine in the Soviet Union?
Field.
Or what do they do?
There's several different things here. Firstly, I cannot prove that the Soviets have done this, but what I do know is that the West Germans issued their diplomats with protective devices about 10 years ago. In fact, I have the circuit diagrams for these protective devices. The West Germans have recognized the problem. They have taken moves against it. The State Department in 78 was not recognizing the problem. I don't know if they've taken any moves against it. It looks as if they have not.
Part two coming up.
This is where I am very, very disturbed, because in the West, we don't think in terms of warfare, certainly not to achieve objectives. Well, at least most of us don't, except the elite. And I'm concerned that while the elite is out to control the world, the Russian, given the Russian mind and the technology we've given them, is going to use this technology back against us in forms which we don't accept. And there's no question that our establishment engineers haven't until recently accepted behavioral modification through radio engineering. Now, both these gentlemen you noticed on here, they can talk because they're outside the establishment. They do not work for the government. In fact, I just had a letter from one of them. And this is the consensus among these people that these, one, this can be done, and secondly, it is being done. Now, there are other things that, in addition to behavioral manipulation, they're a little more, little harder to pinpoint. I rather suspect that the service can identify objects at a distance, say through radar. They can estimate the shape, the size, and the composition. In other words, one can analyze the return spectrum and analyze that and find the composition of what they're looking at. So theoretically, you could put a beam into, say, this top secret installation inside it, and you could get a picture back, very roughly, giving the shape, the size, and the composition of the article that was the other end of that beam. They can use it, I suspect, for telepathy. Telepathy, for a long time, has been a random sort of phenomenon. I think possibly you could use radio waves as a carrier for telepathy, perhaps even for psychokinesis too.
Well, telepathy can be mind manipulation if someone doesn't recognize it as an exterior communication.
Yes. So that basically is what psychokinesis is. Then the one you mentioned about the putting the picture in the well. The number of end uses for that, I don't know which one you had in mind, but for example, it could be used for finding people. Tracing people. You could put a picture of a person within this machine and through a map have it trace out the coordinates where the person is. I heard it was used in one case, the U.S. Navy. Now, I cannot verify this. It's only what it's just hearsay. That the U.S. Navy did experiment with this kind of operation by getting the signatures of Soviet submarine commanders and using this process for identifying the location of this particular submarine.
Now that's a fantastic achievement by a signature. You can't hide anything on this earth, not even a symbol. Now, do you think the Soviets are targeting certain segments of our population that are the leadership, the Congress, the military, or do you think that over the pole are coming ELF waves that are affecting the entire population, beaming these between 3 and 4 a.m. in the morning and so forth?
Yeah. Well, if you look at Washington, you know, you go into Washington, it's like a world apart. And go through all, like we did earlier, do we explain these things by stupidity, by ignorance? And you're almost left up by default with this behavioristic manipulation. It's the only one that really fits. I mean, these people are so out of touch with reality, as I see it, and as you see it, that this really becomes the only explanation that will hold water.
Well, when you have a few people that are not in any way influenced by it and take their stand for reality, for truth, for common sense, do these people have a natural repellent of these kind of energy waves? Is it the strength of God within them, or what is it that keeps some people totally clear in their thinking?
I think there's got to be an inner force, and a spiritual power, which enables us, perhaps gives us an inner strength to see truth, to see things as they really are. And these people, as you mentioned, don't have this inner strength, this inner power. It's in a reflection of God.
And when you look at the people who are receptive and who tout this line, they seem to have had the capacity for vulnerability to this before they came under that attack. Like Schultz, for instance.
A vulnerability.
Yeah, like Schultz. I mean, you could say he's a victim of ELF waves, but Schultz was Schultz before he was a victim of ELF waves, is what I'm saying.
Yes, it's whether the Soviets manipulated his psychological weaknesses or the ELF waves brought them about. But the kind of person you get in Washington, a person who searches for power, you can guarantee that 95% of the people in Washington have got this lack of inner strength, as you mentioned.
You know, it's been observed by top people in Washington that the attrition rate on the part of people visiting the Soviet Union and then coming back and being soft on communism is amazing. In fact, they can go to the Soviet Union and be totally turned around in their views and become pro-Soviet. Do you think that, therefore, there is a greater effect of this mind manipulation in Soviet territory at closer range?
You're getting this with the businessmen. These top businessmen go to the Soviet Union and they come back. Dwayne Andrews is a very good example. He's chairman of Archer Daniels Midland. They come back from the Soviet Union and they may as well be reading a translation of Parker when they come back. It's the straight party line, right the way down. Now, they weren't always like that. But you do get this phenomenon, not so much with diplomats, but you certainly get it with businessmen. They go there, they wind and dine. I suspect they get this psychological manipulation. And they come back. And then they parrot the party line. When you challenge them, they become confused and hostile.
That's a real telltale sign, isn't it?
Real telltale sign.
The hostility is a front because there's no reason behind it. It's a bluster.
It's a bluster. And I've seen that at first hand. They become very antagonistic.
I've seen it too.
Yes. Which is weakness. There's nothing behind it. They're confused themselves why they're saying this and why.
Okay. This is straight from the experts. You know, I figured that maybe y'all tired of hearing me talk all the time, so I decided to bring some guests on, so to speak. How can I say this? Before there's ever technology at all, back in the days of Moses and then even in the 1700s and 1600s, 1500s, man's been influenced by demonic entities. Your soul is not philosophical. Your soul is energy, physics, quantum physics, biology, chemistry. They created philosophy, which is an absolutely useless, mindless subject matter. In college, it's designed to distract from the truth about the supernatural. It's, you know, I saw many college students that, when I was a college student, that some of the best philosophers in the classes were those that smoked dope. And that's one of the reasons for marijuana, to make you better at philosophy. Because marijuana makes philosophy really interesting. But if you've got common sense and you live in reality, philosophy is a useless course. Smoke a couple of joints, they do, I think, and they're really good at philosophy. Although they have no clue what they're saying. There you go. So in any case, that's what philosophy is designed for. It's one of the rays, they call it, of the New Age movement. Philosophy and religion. But back to the scientific part of this. Back in those days. Demons. Supernatural beings that specks of light, energy. Intermingling with your energy, which is your soul, which is energy. And the spirit is energy, but it's a link. The spirit is a link to God. Your soul is you and you alone. That's your personality, your character, but that's contained within this energy called the soul. You see? And this is physics. It's not a philosophical notion, a discussion. When you die, your body goes to sleep. The physical part goes to the grave. Your soul and spirit, if you're born again, goes with God in another dimensional capacity, another frequency vibration, if you will. And then God affects, he adjust those frequency vibrations, if you want to go there. I hate saying that. That's what he does. That's how it works. It's physics. And you go to hell. Because you're not born again. It does affect your frequency vibration if you... See, they've learned how to, with the knowledge of good and evil, to manipulate this using physics, science, and so forth. So, for example, the demon of lust, demon of anger, are real demons. with that frequency of lust. You sort of getting the idea here? Those demons have different frequencies in the principalities. So now they have technology that kind of operates as synthetic demons and allows possession by using drugs. ELF transmission is not only synthetic telepathy, but synthetic demons, where the demons also interact as well. Human vulnerability was studied by Dr. Andrea Putaric around the 1950s and 1960s. And what he found was a clairvoyant's brainwaves became about 8 hertz. Remember he talked about 10 hertz, 11 hertz, Anthony Sutton did, about becoming very agitated? Well, I'm going to give some perspective for you here. Because Dr. Andrea Putaric, he actually discovered that a clairvoyant's brainwaves became about 8 hertz cycles when their psychic powers were operating. What's happening here with a psychic clairvoyant is they're in communication and link with a demonic entity, as are your super soldiers remote viewing at the Pentagon. And when they operate, become possessed by sodomizing a child, rape, homosexual acts, or against God's creation, allows the Spirit of God to pull away from them, causes it to happen, allowing a demonic entity to come inside them. That's exactly what happens. And this is where they get their skills of remote viewing, clairvoyance, psychic energy, and all that. It's not them at all. It's that demon operating within their bodies, giving them that power that will kill them later. They don't tell them this, what I'm telling you now. Now, this Putaric, he saw an Indian yogi in 1956 controlling his brainwaves, and he deliberately shifted his consciousness from one level to another by this meditation, yoga. Putaric trained then people with this thing called biofeedback. You ever heard of it? Oh, yeah. New age stuff going on here, you see. And her brain, the healer, for example, made 8 hertz waves pass to a patient, healing the heart trouble. Her brain emitting about 8 hertz or so. And there's one person emitting a certain frequency that made another also resonate in the same frequency. So our brains are extremely vulnerable to any technology or to demonic possession that operates on these ELF waves. It's linking up technology with demonic activity. If you don't believe in demonic demons, then you're going to think it's all technology. It's not. It's together. And they immediately start resonating to the outside signal by some kind of like a tuning fork effect. So Putaric's experiments discovered the following. That the Earth's pulse rate is like 7.83 hertz of resonance. It made a person feel good, producing kind of an altered state. And that's the Earth's pulse rate, normal. But now, when they increased the hertz rate, just like Anthony Sutton was talking about, by devices, at 10.8, in his case, he said 11 cycles, it caused riotous behavior, road rage, anger. And if you reduced it below the Earth resonance frequency, 7.8 hertz, a targeted individual, 6.6 hertz caused depression. Now, hang on to your hats. In my research, I found out in other areas that these ELF waves change RNA and DNA. And what it does is it breaks down hydrogen bonds to make a person with a higher and have a high vibrational rate. So Puterich wanted to go beyond this psychic 8 hertz brainwave activity. And so James Hurtak, who, H-U-R-T-A-K, I believe, worked for Puterich. He also wrote a book called The Keys of Enoch, that ultraviolet color caused hydrogen bonds to break. Bonds would break and thus raise the vibratory rate by using a color. Puharich then presented the mental effects of ELF waves to military leaders. They wouldn't believe him. He gave the information to certain dignitaries in other Western nations back then, and the U.S. government burned down his home in New York and tried to shut him up, and he fled to Mexico. But the Russians discovered which ELF frequencies did what to the human brain and started zapping the U.S. embassy in Moscow on 4 July 1776. So my research, I wanted to confirm Anthony Sutton's testimony, and it confirms in my other research. And they had focusing their research of 10 hertz, and that's put you into a hypnotic state. So Russians and North Koreans used it in mind control machines to extract confessions. And actually, a machine was even found in American church to help the congregation believe. It's all about frequencies, family. And that Russian woodpecker, the signal was traveling across the world from a transmitter near Kyiv, where they're having trouble today. And the U.S. Air Force actually identified about 5 different frequencies in that compound. So the woodpecker kind of harmonious signal or whatever was sending signals through the earth and the atmosphere. And so that's when in comes Nikola Tesla in 1901. He said power could be transmitted through the ground using ELF waves because nothing stops or weakens these waves. That's why he said he could split the earth in half. You understand what I'm telling y'all? Puterich started his work by putting dogs to sleep in 1947, 48, 49. Then he graduated to monkeys, destroying their eardrums on purpose to enable them to pick up the sounds without hearing them. Septal implants. You see, back in the 60s and 40, 50s, Puterich discovered a nerve in the tongue that could be used to facilitate hearing. He created the dental tooth implant, which mind controls or victims are now claiming was surreptitiously placed in their mouth by dentists who would be Freemasons, caused them to hear voices in their head. The implant was then placed on their dental caps or lodged in the jaw. Then you have vaccine implants, small in their hairs with, injected with vaccine, and flu shots. Millions had this done unknowingly. The biochips circulate in the bloodstream and lodge in the brain, enable the victim to hear voices via the implant. Now, my regular listeners, you've heard me give you testimony from witnesses and those involved. And so now you know where I came up with my study. Once I got this knowledge, I said, wait a minute. I said, I bet you the 22 suicides per day are being orchestrated. I always take things a step further. There's all kinds of implants, and 1 in 40 victims from so-called alien abduction, which is nonsense. But the aliens that some people have seen, the little gray men, were demons in a physical form. Physical designed bodies. The fake alien abduction event revealed to actually be the work of U.S. military personnel using technology to make hologram spaceships outside, which people will see shortly in the disclosure. Virtual reality type scenarios. I'm just touching the surface. I'm not even scratching the surface, really. Because the fluoride, for example, and the marijuana and all these drugs and so forth, disables the willpower section of the brain. Impairs the left occipital lobe. Now you know why they won't try to now make marijuana legal. Because they know people smoke a lot of it, which will weaken their willpower, allowing this technology to operate. Fluoride, selenium, enables people to hear voices. Troops are complaining about this to VA, and nobody's listening to them. It's a fact they're hearing these voices. It's a fact that people hear these voices. When this one called Maitreya shows up, a new age movement in the disclosure, talks to people, you all will know it to be technology. Supernatural whiz bang, smoke, mirrors, and lies. They're coming. I haven't talked about tracking, the ELF, the Gwyn Towers, the Coles, thought control, all the, it just goes and goes and goes and goes. Montauk, MK Ultra, returning vet kills himself, kills the family and himself. Family, this is all orchestrated, perfectly orchestrated. And you know, the Joint Chief of Staff know this. Now you know why I'm hot on their butts, because I know they're part of this. They know what they're doing, and they're doing it on purpose because they're linked up to the Joint Chief of Staff and linked up to the Council of Foreign Relations. The Council of Foreign Relations is the Illuminati. The Council of National Policy, CNP, is a subsection of the Council of Foreign Relations. And guess who is a member of the Council of National Policy? Palin, Missler, LaRouche, Oliver North, Pat Robinson, LaHaye. Look it up. Knights of Malta surround it entirely. Family been had by both sides. Jesus Christ, as Anthony Sutton was alluding to, they never really came out to talk about it, is by your strength of character, your strength of personality, your link to the supernatural. What am I talking about here? Become born again. The blood of Jesus surrounds you. Oh, I know. They say if you can find that chip and you get a magnet of some magnitude and hold it there for an hour, it might disable it or something. I don't know, whatever. But the Spirit of God will disable it. I don't know how far I was going to go with this today. I sort of start off with want to cover the news and so forth, but I see where it's headed. So I just go with the flow. You know, we talked yesterday about the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln, and where it came from, and the manipulation of mind. This goes back to 1712, Willie Lynch. It's not 1950. It goes back and starts in America in 1712. And the blacks, Negroes of this country were the first victims of mind control by the whites, and I'm a white boy, but by the Rothschilds, the Illuminati, 1712, as they were bred in the Bible Belt. We got a lot of repenting to do there, white folk. You better get to it. And you preachers, shame on you. Using the wrong Bibles, King James Bibles, the only one true word of God. And not one preacher you out there can prove otherwise. You can deny what you've been and spout off what you've been told about in these corrupted schools of theology or your so-called pastor's degree from some Cracker Jack's box because you're not teaching the true word of God because you're using corrupted Bibles. How's this possible? King James Bible is the only one. And your Joint Chief of Staff, you know the experiment's being done. And their loyalty is not with the United States. The Russians, Putin and all those above is not with Russians. The Chinese emperor is not with China. They're with the Luciferian agenda, the secret societies, and that's who they're with. The pretend is that they're with the people. We talked about the manipulation of blacks, whites, everybody. We're all the same enemy. But a quote from Abraham Lincoln about the Civil War, by the way. Quote, the war, this war would never have been possible without the sinister influence of the Jesuits. We owe it to popery that we now see our land reddened with the blood of our noblest sons. Though there were great differences of opinion between the South and North on the question of slavery, neither Jeff Davis nor any one of the leading men of the Confederacy would have dared to attack the North had they not relied on the promise of the Jesuits that under the mask of democracy, the money and the arms of the Roman Catholics, even the arms of France, were at their disposal if they would attack us. Charles Chickney, 50 Years in the Church of Rome, Wycliffe Press, 1885, page 388. You know, Dwight Thompson said, I quote, hell will be full of people who have religion in their head, but no reality in their heart. Hear, hear. They got little articles. You know, the media is totally controlled by the Illuminati, according to Congressional Records, 1915. Controlled by J.P. Morgan, passed on to Rockefellers at the Council of Foreign Relations. Controls all media. Now, that being said, they're putting out articles, which is a major brainwashing mechanism in various places to control, manipulate, not only in ELF transmission, but also psychologically. So around the same time frame, knowing that they want you to approve marijuana, because first they got to hide it. This is a trick, dialectic. They got to let you know it's good to cure cancer, but the government's not letting us have it. That means you're going to want it. You see how it is? That's the trick they're playing. They have been for 20 years. The government's keeping it illegal. Okay, and that's the trick. Okay, so now they want to legalize it. So as soon as they legalize it, and they will, like the will of abortion, as soon as they legalize it, people are going to go after it because at one time it was illegal. And they're counting on that to happen. Now, to facilitate this, watch this. This is beautiful. This is amazing. They have an article come out, and the title of the article, this is so simplistic. Quote, ex-DA agent jumps jobs to join marijuana investment firm. So, you have this ex-DA agent, right, brand new, Seattle, as a decade with the Drug Enforcement Administration, Patrick Moen, M-O-E-N, rose to supervise a team of agents busting methamphetamine heroin rings in Oregon before giving it all up to join nascent legal marijuana industry in nearby Washington State. Well, by George, if he can do that, you know, I tell you what, let's invest in it. Yeah. You see how they're doing it? Isn't that clever? And then in the same time frame, this past week, out come another article. Marijuana, y'all. Obama's pot comments could help legalization efforts in the states. And then you'll find these articles plastered all over the United States. Man, these people, I tell you what. Obama says pot's no more dangerous than alcohol. Like he's never had any moonshine, huh? Smoking pot no more dangerous than drinking. And here we go. Family, it all works out. And people bite, hook, line, and sneaker. Every time, man. I got to read the article. Excuse me. Choke. I'm not smoking none. I got to read the article throughout the United States, and it influences the mind of a country in one little article. One little itsy-bitsy little article is plastered everywhere. That's how they do it. I tell you what, man. I just sit back and read this stuff and watch it happen. And then you get people out there that's going to discuss this thing and just talk about the surface part of it, not the real reality of why they're putting it out in the first place. Oh, man. Spain's new cardinal says homosexuality is a defect. Well, that means I'm not responsible. If you're homosexual, you can say, well, I'm not responsible because I have a defect. Nah, nah, boo, boo. It's not by demonic influence. No, it's a defect, right? The cardinal said that. Cardinal, blue jay, bluebird, whatever, I don't know, whatever. They're all going to hell if they don't repent of their sins and get out of there and take Jesus Christ as Savior. They're heading straight to hell. So is adulterers, liars, cheaters. I was an adulterer when I was married. I repented of that. I'm not innocent, but I call it for what it is. It's demonic. Different frequency vibrations, if you want to call it that, affects us. The Jezebel spirit. It's all about frequency vibration. That these demons are, that's their ranking structure. That's their rank. It's like finding a radio station on a radio. That would be it, right? You go one, there's a radio, there's another one. Each one has different frequency vibration. This is physics of how it's set up. To keep up the racial issues, they come out with articles. Here's another one. To make sure we keep up the racial conflict. We got racial conflict. You want to come together. That's why they want to do it. Well, just came out. New trial sought for South Carolina boy, 14 years old, executed in 1944. Where'd they come up with that now? He's a black kid. Now they're bringing up now, what, 60, 70, 80 years, 60 years later or something? To keep the racial issue at a stir. That's why. Conflict torn Central Africa. Now gets his first woman president. Now, personally, I don't care either way. They can have a president of Elmer Fudd if they want to. I'm telling you the techniques that they're using. Leading us to Hillary as president of the United States. You see, so they have riots over in, about 2 years ago in the Middle East, Arab Spring. And what came after that? Yeah. Wall Street. Riots in Wall Street funded by the Rockefellers and Freemasons. Rendowski, Craig Fitzgerald, We Are Change. That's a Freemason organization. Craig Fitzgerald's a 13th degree Freemason. Man, it's hook, line, and sinker again. Yeah, see how they do it. Your what's that, Dice guy? Jones? Lindsay Williams, they all work for the Illuminati and Freemasons. Knights of Malta. They keep the secret societies protected. Man, I tell you. Manufacturing consent. Report details industrial killing of 11,000 in Assad jails. Here we go again. Just like they set up the Jews, set up the Serbs with that lie I proved some time ago that the Serbs were mass murdering and all this stuff in the 90s. No, they weren't. They were having to deal with the jihad that we brought over. CIA, Iran, Turkey, and Saudi intelligence working together. Brought over Mujahideen into Bosnia and Croatia. We created the jihad after we finished with the jihad in Afghanistan. But wasn't us. It was the Jesuits. It was the Illuminati using us, Americans, as their fighting arm. And you joined Chief of Staff, you lame brains. You're the ones doing it because you're Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus. And you know it too. Oh, and I found a little article here. My little bit of research I do. Oh, look at here. What does this say? Mercy, mercy. CIA targeted assassinations by induced heart attack and cancer. 1975, during the church committee hearings, existence of a secret assassination weapon came to light. They caused the victim to have immediate heart attack. The poison could be frozen in the shape of a dart and fired at high speed from a pistol. All kinds of stupid mess. Ice. Also can give cancer. Can be caused by injecting with cancer viruses, bacteria. It's the same way to do with the same individuals, human beings. In 1931, Cornelius Rhodes, a pathologist from Rockefeller Institute of Medical Research, proposedly infected human test subjects in Puerto Rico with cancer cells. 13 of them died. But a Puerto Rican doctor discovered that this Rhodes purposely covered up some of the details in his experiment, and Rhodes himself gave a written testimony stating he believes that all Puerto Ricans should be killed. He later goes on to establish U.S. Army biological warfare facilities in Fort Detrick, Maryland. And then there they had the origin and the creation of HIV/AIDS at Fort Detrick, Maryland, delivered to Africa under the guise of hepatitis B vaccinations. The avian flu, virus, swine flu, H1N1. Now you understand. Can they give a person cancer? Absolutely. Now you know why I say Russo died of cancer, was induced. Death by heart attack, no problem. Piece of cake for them. Lone shooters, now you got the idea. Columbine, Fort Hood, all those were under some kind of drugs. They can talk to them while they're shooting people in their heads. Now you know why it's possible. You tell other people this without showing them the evidence like we have today, they'll think you're crazy. You show them the evidence, they just get mad at you and walk away. You see how it works? President Slobodan Milosevic was also assassinated. He was found, he was also a Freemason. He was trained in the State Department during the late 80s to be a banker. They tried to get control of him. Then they threw him under the bus. That's how they do it there, Freemasons. And they're going to do the same to you. See, I believe in connecting the dots when the dots are there to be connected. Because they're there. NATO is one of the most evil organizations there are on the face of the planet besides the UN. You see. Well, I mean, I could keep going with this and talk about Kosovo and how all that worked. I discussed that before in Croatia, Bosnia. It's all been preempted. Actually, we carried on what Hitler started. Actually. Frank Wisner. Yes, Frank Wisner Sr. led Operation Fiend in Albania. It failed. He committed suicide in 1960, a shotgun in the head. His son, Frank Wisner Jr., carried on the tradition of CIA with Enron. And then later he was part of the delegation to make Kosovo an independent nation, independent state from Serbia, to break up the Orthodox Christians that Hitler tried to do a long time ago. Jasanovic, the Jesuits, murdered 750,000 Serb Orthodox Christians in Jasanovic concentration camp, as covered up by Bishop Stefanovic. Yeah, buddy. And, oh, I forgot to mention the 60,000 Jews they murdered and 26,000 Gypsies in one concentration camp by Ustasha, Roman Catholic troops. That's correct. I got the details. Extreme details, actually. Now you see, now what I've told you is all truth for the past hour and a half. It's doggone frustrating sometimes. Anyway, let you all know we're played up in our broadcast and Bible studies. Are played at highportradio.net, highportradio.net by John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. He is gracious enough to play our broadcast, our Bible studies. I send him the MP3s somehow or another. And his email is highpointradio@yahoo.com. And y'all up there in New York, New Jersey, High Point, give him some help. Let's get his network up and running fast. I don't know how far it's probably grown, but he's got a numerous number of a high number of sponsors, and start supporting those sponsors and support John Kirkler. Also, you've got us played simulcast, I believe, in Blue Raven Network at KBLU Radio also. We're played there. And my website, watchmanforjesus.com, I've got a study, part one, part two, of what's called the suicide conspiracy. So, And I have also, on my website, I've got archives for both Bible study and broadcast. You go there and you can click on and just do it. Just listen if you want. But I do an extreme amount of research. That's all I do. Because I know Jesus Christ is coming back and he wants people to know what's going on. Do your own research. I just give you clues. I talked today about mind manipulation, how they can make aggression. The family have always proposed that this flash mob phenomena that's going on today in the past 10 years or whatever, where they have been studying this, and it's all been for benevolent reasons to hook and crook people. It's all cute. You know, they're in a mall and they break out singing Christmas carols or whatever. Oh, that's nice and all warm and fuzzy. But the purpose of it all along has been how to control crowds and crowd behavior under the mask of benevolency. Now, I predicted some time ago, as somebody can attest, that they were going to eventually then start using these mob scenarios for violence. And they have started doing that. And now I've talked to you this morning, this afternoon at the beginning of the show, exactly how they do it with evidence and testimony. You see, I deal in evidence, not speculation. If it's speculation on my part, I'll tell you. But my speculation is based on facts. And numerous facts come with speculation, okay? Anyway, I talked today about that. I wasn't sure where it was going to go, but I included putting in John Todd, which wasn't planned at the beginning. But I figured that was the best way to do it, to show how this technology is intermingled with the supernatural beings, not aliens. Joint Chief of Staff, you're being taken for fools. There's no such thing as aliens. They don't exist. If you believe in aliens, you must believe in evolution. And evolution is impossible. So what'd you do, sleep through biology class? Or what? Because evolution is impossible. Anyway, I wonder if they ever hear what I say. In any case, when they target individuals, well, a husband, a returning wife from Iraq and Afghanistan, or someone's went to the dentist and have a septal implant, they're targeted individuals, or a town's targeted, just like we talked about today, with ELF transmission, you're going to have a noticeable change of behavior. Might be time to start becoming aware of people's behavior. You have breathing, increased breathing, rapid eye movement. Tunnel vision develops when you get all anxious. When you're in a life and death situation, your body goes through 4,000 chemical changes all at one time in a fight and flight syndrome. What does that mean? When someone pulls a gun out, someone will kill you, sucker, if you don't give me your money, and cocks it. You're in an instantaneous flight and flight syndrome. Your body goes through 4,000 chemical changes. Your body prepares itself to meet the demands of the environment, preparation for combat or confusion. Skeletal muscles need more blood to get oxygen that's necessary to sustain them during a retreat or an attack. All this starts taking place automatically. And to get this extra blood, body tissues, which normally possess a high volume of blood, are drained. Stomach, skin parts, parts of the brain, the knees, you see. Oh, that has an effect. Happens when you're startled or frightened. On the YouTube, for example, your body has a reaction. You have that thing where they do it. I don't even know what it is. It's some kind of where you're staring at the screen and you're doing some kind of video game or something where you're staying in boundaries and the person that's got this, it's bad news, man. I never done it, but you sit there and you're doing it and the person coaxed you into doing this knows it's scary, you know, demons going to appear like that in front of you, right? You saw those on YouTube? Well, there's one where this kid's doing it, and he's like all giddy and trying to do it, and this exorcist face comes up. He freaks out completely, punches the screen, punches a hole through the screen of the computer, stands up, and he wee-weed all in his pants. I mean, this guy is totally wiped out. Okay, so this is from a screen. How much power a video, VCR, a computer has on a person. Now you see how much power, energy it has to cause someone to punch their fist through it, then stand up and even wee-wee right there in your pants, you know, an adult. Causes reaction. People get scared. Face pales, blood vessels constrict, causing blood to leave the skin, and the body man expels what it's got. You had to go to the bathroom. You ought to go instantly. Respiration increases. Adrenaline dumped into the bloodstream causes the heart to race. Thought processes are slowed. Reflex action takes over instead of irrational thought. Panic, indecision, fear may result if you're not trained. Oh, no. What do you do? Very simple. Know that at that first stage, you got to control breathing. That's the trick of it. That's the management process. Is get your breathing back normal while you're got the gun put in your head, while you're scared in a situation you don't know about. Get your breathing back to normal rhythm. Because a person in a fearful situation holds their breath. Loss of oxygen. Can't think. Well, start breath. That's where you get your breathing. In your firearms training, it's called BRASS, B-R-A-S-S. Breathe. Relax. Aim, sack, squeeze. That's something else. But breathe and relaxing. Breathing. Then you start thinking because oxygen's entered your brain. That's the first level of a conflictive stage. Start your breathing and then calm everybody else down and yourself to start thinking of response. Now, the second stage of a conflict is you may lose control verbally. So you've got control yourself by your breathing. That's very important. That's why in the martial arts we trained, you'd get in a cold shower. You would subject yourself to hot, uncomfortable hot. And then you would breathe and try to focus because you're an extreme anxiety because of the extreme cold or extreme hot or some kind of, as much as you could, produce a life and death situation, which is really hard to do in training. But that's why you see, when you put yourself in danger, it's like an adrenaline rush, you know, like in a fight or something. It's like, it's addictive, man, because it's like a pump when you have a fight. It is. Fighting is addictive. So is violence. How do you gain control if you lose it verbally, where you just don't know what to say? You got to control yourself, but, well, to the other individual. Is sometimes to allow them to vent their anger. You try to shut them up. It's like trying to stop a bottle. As you spew it out and you plug it, it's going to explode. No, just ease the cap top off a little bit and let it spew out, and then you can drink it and drop Coca-Cola, right? Well, same with a person. Not to argue, not to fight. Just let them get all that anger out. Let go, 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 go. Okay, while you're listening, putting your head up and down. Okay. While you're thinking, while they're talking, that's good because it gives you time to think and plan. Allow them to vent their anger. Sometimes that's all they need to do anyway. Sometimes you might reassure them or build their ego back because their ego is bloated, deflated. Another technique. It's also not what's being said, but it's how you say it with body language, body actions. You start pointing your finger at somebody, that's aggressive. you put your hands in the air like, hey, oh, talk to me. I'm Italiano. You know what I mean? Get your hands up in the air. Yeah, you see. That's aggressive. Shaking your hands at somebody, that's aggressive. But if you kind of fold your hands, you kind of keep them at your chest level, folded over top of each other, you got protection there. Or you're just kind of scratching your chin, listening. You got your hands where you can protect yourself, but you're also non-aggressive. 90% of communication is body language. I got a whole lot more techniques I may cover tomorrow about how to control. We got 15 minutes to go. I'll cover some more of this tomorrow, but I'm continue on. But we'll do part two of this managing aggressive behavior tomorrow as well. Now, the first place to lose control in this conflict immediately is your own anxiety. How do you do that? By breathing, getting your breathing back to normal. Second level is losing control verbally when you're confronting with someone else. How do you manage it? Allow them to vent the anger. Reassure, build their ego up maybe. It's how you say it with body positioning. Using defensive measures, deflective techniques if you get physical. Regaining control. Never let your guard down. Maintain your own control. Hopefully you never get physical. Sometimes you say, look, you know Jesus Christ. I'm in it. It's worked in the past with people. It's witnessing at that point in time. That's not taught too many times in self-defense techniques, but it works. You call the Holy Spirit down to you. Where two or more are gathered. Aha! You can't control the subject's behavior or anger, especially if it is instigated like I showed you earlier today by technology. You got yourself a problem, a big one, because if it's based on the three D's, drunk, deranged, or on drugs, and drugs and the responses from there can be ELF. Some of this may not work. But you can't control their behavior, but you can control your approach. Change the environment, you change the reaction. Maybe introducing yourself on a personal level. You may say, shut up, I don't want to know your name. I do what's called the 2-second technique, 2-second. That anything you try, anything you attempt, whether it's verbally or even physical, if you get that far, if it doesn't work in 1 to 2 seconds, do something else immediately. And while the person's talking, if you're listening, develop a mental plan while they're talking. Take your 3 breaths. Give them time to vent. Listen for 5 to 15 seconds. You know, whatever. Let them get it out. Focus on their issues, not yours. Their issues. And in listening is one of the best ways to calm someone down, whether it's a death, life and death situation, maybe, or a family argument or whatever it is giving feedback. I focus. But when you do the eye focus, don't look square in the eyes. Look at the above the forehead, right there above the eyebrows. Because if you're dealing with a psychotic, psycho, or you're dealing with a really aggressive individual or on drugs, look them in the eyes is challenging. And sometimes can put you in a tunnel vision state. But looking at the forehead, you don't intermingle with their soul. Aha, you see what I mean. But it looks like you're looking them in the eyes, but you're not really. So there's no exchange of souls there. You can do your nod your head up and down. But if you do it real fast, it's like irritating, isn't it? But when you do your head up and down slowly, you're like showing them, you're listening to them. Oh, uh-huh, really? Head goes up and down. But if you nod up and down rapidly, it's like you're losing patience and it makes them agitated. Leaning forward with some degree of judgment here. But not just throwing your head back like, yeah, I'm hot stuff. You know, what are you talking to me, yo? Hey, you talking to me, buddy? No, just lean your head forward a little bit. You're listening, a supportive stance, if you will. Now, some techniques that's used once you've let them vent the anger out or whatever, the situation's evolving, you haven't went physical, you got a chance here to deal with it. And even if it's a family argument or friendship argument, whatever, some techniques I'm going to give you. Number one, if it doesn't work, you go to the next technique. You ask them to repeat what they've just said. In other words, you would say something like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. Would you repeat, please?" Now, for them to do that, now first they may say, "Well, you're not listening to me." Well, go to the next technique. Okay. But if they actually do it, then it creates an understanding by having the problem clarified. Also, by them having to rethink it and tell you again what's going on, it helps calm down that person. It allows them to vent. It buys time, reduces anxiety because increased amount of time. And it gives you time to think and plan based on what you've just heard. Shows concern, support. Might even start a conversation. If the person changes their mind because the spirit hits them, or they have a change of heart or something, if that it happens, it allows this person to save face by rephrasing their statement. Here's another one. If that doesn't work, ask them questions. Means you had to listen, didn't it? You redirect the focus of attention to something that interests the subject or about the problem. Something you might pick up on. Ask them questions. Well, that kind of interrupts the subject by using their name. If you know their name, not ask their name. "My name's Tom. Your name is, what's your name?" "It ain't none of your business." Okay. Well, you move on. But you always got to ask permission to use the subject's name. Kind of put you on a personal level with the subject, with your antagonizer. Get the conversation going, reduces anxiety. Or you might repeat what you said. "John, if I hear you correctly, you're telling me," and you repeat it. So they got to listen. They want to listen to make sure you got it right. But in this way, the subject hears what they're saying played back like an MP3 player. Buys time, shows you're listening. The only exception is when the subject's making threats of suicide or threats of violence. See, you don't want to do that. "I'm going to kill myself," blah, 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 blah. "Oh, so you're going to kill, you're telling me you're going to kill myself." You don't want to do that. Or if he threats somebody else, you don't repeat. "So you're going to shoot the principal. You're going to shoot the, yeah, I'm going to shoot him." You don't want to repeat that part of the interchange. Another technique, you might get him to walk with you. Look, can we, this is kind of crowded here, or there's no light here, or the light or something, it's cold here. Can we walk over, some kind of excuse you can make up that works. You say, can we walk over here for a minute? So you're changing the environment. If focus of attention is on you, it takes the subject away from the problem. If they actually say, and move with you, you got something going on. Reduces anxiety by expending energy. Removes the subject from the source of his anger. However, if you got a third party coming up, it may reignite it from an audience. So if you got a third person walking up, you have a changing situation. Be ready. But if the subject, the person that's antagonizing you, actually submits to walking somewhere from point A to point B, then aggression loses. If the subject resists, aggression wins. One more technique, maybe two, is get them to sit down with you. If there's a park bench, if there's a chair, if you get them to sit down, that pretty much explains itself. And another one, the last one I give you, I got a bunch more here. We can talk tomorrow about body language and personal space and all sorts of things tomorrow, how to manage aggressive behavior. I used to teach a 12-hour course on this, but I'm just giving you kind of a overview. You can use the term we. Don't use the term you. You, that's aggressive. Look, we can solve this. We can do this. It includes the subject. It puts you and the subject on the same level. It breaks the ice. It offers a greater chance of compliance. Even if you're talking with a group of folks that's very agitated. Now, again, if they're induced with a 10.11 hertz, I mean, you got a problem. If they're drunk, deranged, or on drugs, some of this may never work because you got a situation that's not normal. Got to keep that in mind. That's where you check the eyes out. And I haven't covered how to identify aggressive behavior yet. But real quick. You got someone that conspicuously ignores you when you're trying to talk to them. They'll keep looking down and you're talking to them and they ignore you. Repetitive inquiries. Over and over questions to you. Boom, 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 boom. You got an aggressive situation getting ready to happen. You got a light? I need a cigarette. Where are you from? Look out. Look out. Something's coming. Excessive emotional tension to some called staring. Or if the person's looking around, kind of heads going back and forth like a woodpecker or something, you know? Darting, a little unusual. Could be an early warning sign of attack or escape. Exaggerated movement. It's like shrugging your shoulders. I don't know. Or throwing your hands up. I don't know. I don't know. It's aggressive. Where the hands go up or you're pointing your finger at somebody hard. That's exaggerated movement. Or ceasing all movement. They're talking and just stop moving. Whew, that's not good. That's like, oh boy. Something's changed. Or it could mean submission. But you got to equate it with the situation as it's been developing. Naturally, if you have a known violent background, it's pretty obvious. Here's another one. Excessive rubbing of the neck or facial touching. When they start talking, they're trying to convince you of something or doing something and you're trying to talk to them and they're starting to rub their neck or rub their face or their forehead. That facial touch is a sign of aggression. They're getting agitated. That's what that means. Certainly, if they have a boxer stance or a handset where it sits, that's pretty obvious. Shifting the shoulder, looking away, shift the shoulder, be ready to duck. Or a target glance, what we call a target glance, where you have a pair of scissors on your desk and they look at the scissors and look at you. Or if you're a cop and you have a weapon on your side and you're talking to them, they look at your gun, look at you. It's like a look, look, look up. It's like a 1.1 second, a point, half a second glance. Don't miss it. Or they look toward the door and look back at you. It's called a target glance. Or that 1,000-yard stare. You're like, hey buddy, you. I wouldn't push it. Sometimes we call it, better let that sleeping dog lie. Well, family, we got 3 minutes to go. And I'm going to have this up and placed on the site shortly. And I appreciate y'all coming by. And I covered this morning, this afternoon, covered at the beginning, how they control behavior. Family, that's exactly what's going on. That's what's happening today. How about those newscasters that you saw on YouTube where they're talking and they're talking about this? We have weather today and today is going to blah, 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 blah. I don't know what happened to me. Well, she must have had a stroke or something. I say they're playing with them. I say that they're testing their technology out on the newscasters to see if it works. Where they start nonsense gibberish while they're on the news. That would be testing. Not a stroke. That's testing. They can do that. That's what the microchips, the chemtrails with the microchips in them, enhances the signals. Oh, yeah. You see. Family, the Spirit of God is stronger than anything man has got or Satan. Spiritual warfare, I'm going to talk about tonight, and about Yeshua and spiritual warfare tonight. That Yeshua is going to affect everybody's life. That's actually the only important part about it. It's part of the great deception talked about in the Bible. The great delusion that even the very elect will be deceived. It's coming. People are not ready for it. Voice to skull is also linked to it as well. It's all connected. Well, I hope you got something out of it today on this broadcast. That's some things you remember when this thing starts going down, and it will. But in God's timing, when He allows it to. So y'all have a good night and Bible study tonight at 7:30 if you're interested. And this is Tuesday, the 21st of January. Moving around long, isn't it? Pretty quick, I'd say. Well, I enjoyed today. It's been one-sided. I don't have chat room here. But I'll let y'all know we're covered our broadcast and our Bible studies are randomly played highpointradio at yahoo.com, highpointradio.net. That's highpointradio.net. John Kirkler, his email is highpointradio@yahoo.com. And also, we're played at, remind you, KBLU Radio, KBLU Radio at Blue Raven Network. And my website, watchmanforjesus.com. And go there and I'll be putting some more articles there here shortly. I've got this broadcasting down now. I'm able to cut in on the 24-hour loop that I've finally got back up and running. And it's working like it used to. Hallelujah. But now I got to work on my website, so one thing at a time. Okay, family, you'll have a great evening. And know that Jesus Christ won at the cross of Calvary. Through His suffering, though. Through His suffering for us. And all this is to keep you away from taking Him as your Savior. Fasting and praying and keeping you busy. That's the bottom line. That's everything going on today. Not one exception. This is what's really going on in the overall picture. So y'all have a great night and know that Jesus Christ went to cross of Calvary. And I'd join Him if I were you by taking Him as your Savior on His resurrection. We died with Him. You take Him as your Savior. You can be resurrected with Him and live for eternity. That day's coming when we're all going to take into account which judgment you're going to be. Judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne. This is not philosophy. It's not religion. It's about what's really going to happen. And if people die before all this tribulation begins, your judgment has begun. It's all in God's time. God's in control. Not the Illuminati, not the Jesuits, not the fallen angels, not Lucifer, not the Joint Chief of Staff, not the scientists, nobody, nothing is in control but God Himself. And there's nothing they can do about it except save their own soul by accepting Him as your Savior. Of course, you all out there now already know this. You got a leg up on them. But pray for them in that case. Y'all have a good night. And we'll see y'all tonight at 7:30 or tomorrow at 4 o'clock. And know that Jesus Christ is alive and He's coming back, but in His time And by the way, his name is Jesus, not Yeshua. Y'all have a good night now here. We'll be back tomorrow and tonight, 7:30 Bible study. Good night. And God bless.
My feet, and as I looked into his eyes, the love was shining out from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet relief. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Good night and God bless.